This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Clown Blue Podcast post-match reaction sponsored by NordVPN. All the details for NordVPN are where, Matt? In the description.
I was in the description, so I threw me then. I forgot these. So perfect. I was going to go straight into rant mode. As you, super polished and professional.
No. All the information you need is in the description down below. I'm your host, Dan Rowlandson, joined by Matt Kendrick, live. Well, not live. This is a pre-record. Live and direct from your house again. Due to various circumstances, so hopefully the visual and audio is okay. You okay?
I'm a bit flat.
Yeah,
to
me
be
too.
Honest, I've heard him quite crestfallen. I thought it was all in the bag.
I know.
Can I say tits up?
Yeah.
I know sometimes on our description it says no swears and stuff, but it went tits up quite quickly, didn't it? Quite spectacularly.
When I saw the team news come out, I thought, that's a strong team. I think that's probably our strongest.
I don't think you could have named anybody short other than the 10 injured
players. Yeah. But you could argue maybe Diaby starts somewhere and Tielemans plays and Rodgers doesn't possibly, and maybe that's stronger.
Yeah.
Incidentally, I thought Rodgers played very well and took his goal brilliantly. But when the team come out, I thought, that's probably our strongest team. That's a really nice team. Should be more than capable of beating a pretty rubbish Brentford side this season. And it pretty much went like that for most of the first half, at least. We spoke recently, me and John, I think it was on either last week's episode or the one before, about our record after half-time being a bit shaky and why is that?
Yeah.
And we come out and score instantly, and me and my dad are like, well, this should be one of those games where it's a 3-0, 4-0. Good for the goal difference. Bring Douglas Luiz off at 60 minutes. You know, don't get that silly booking. This will be absolutely fine. And a mad 9 minutes from Brentford ruins it.
Morgan Rodgers' goal to make it 2-0 seems like weeks ago. The disappointment of conceding the first goal, the second goal and the third goal still seems really, really, really raw.
And it felt quicker. I checked it obviously before we came on that it was 9 minutes. The first two are 2 minutes apart and the other one 6 or 7 after. But it felt like all of them came in about the space of 30 seconds. It just relentless.
Yeah, it felt a little bit like, to me, and I don't want to be too doom and gloom because I think we do need to take it in the context of the season and stuff, but it's often my frame of reference, isn't it, going back to the O'Neill days. It felt a little bit like following the Moscow game.
Yeah, like we kind of had to win today.
Stoke game, put pressure on ourselves by going, you know, by rotating, shall we speak, at Man City. People could understand the thinking behind it, but the purpose was to make sure they absolutely nailed these 3 points today.
Yeah.
And it looked like we were doing it. I thought we did the hard bit by breaking Brentford down
in the first place.
I thought that they were quite regimented, but had the capability to spring us on the break. But to get that first goal, I think it sounds silly, isn't it? Doesn't it? Football can be a complex game when we talk about XG and we talk about, you know, kind of the obsession there with kind of stats and tactics. But it was a case of delivering the ball into the box.
Yeah.
Get that ball into the box and you do it with pace and you do it before the defence is set and you can score goals. Both of our goals. The first goal and the third goal came from that by delivering the ball clinically. Their goals, the first goal, I've not seen them back. I've seen the first goal replay back on the big screens at Villa Park, and it just looked. I'm not sure they even had control of the ball, did they? Look like
it all felt very preventable. It is a bit of a cliche, but when you're tuning up against a side that is lesser than you and you are in somewhat control, you don't go to 3-2, do you? Even if you get it to 2-2 and you kind of go, right, okay, abandon everything we're doing, shut up shop, just keep it at this. Yeah. To let them go ahead in the game is very unlike the Aston Villa that we're now used to. And it concerns me a little bit that we've still got
a lot of goals, Sam.
Yeah.
At the moment, so I don't know if I've got it on my phone, but there's a stat, I might be able to put it up on there. Stat about the amount of goals we'll have conceded compared to what the teams around us. Liverpool conceded 28, Man City conceded 31, Arsenal conceded 24. We've conceded 49 goals now.
After today.
Yeah. And the tweeter has put that into context. Everton have conceded 42.
Mm.
And it's like, we do seem to have that. I think we've described it as a bit of a soft underbelly before, haven't we?
Which is all right if you're winning games 3-2.
Yeah, well, listen, I thought we might even sneak in sneaky 4-3 at the end, but I think we kind of cooked our goose by then, didn't we?
That's a good phrase. You don't hear that very often these days, do you? Cooked our goose. Yeah, it's just very, very, very frustrating, and I just don't really know where it's come from, because I felt that once it went 2-0, I was of that mind. Maybe I felt a certain complacency, and maybe some of the rest of the crowd did. Whether that is what the players feel or not is obviously speculation, but you just think, well, this is routine now. We're turning up 47 minutes into the game. Like, we should see this out comfortably. It's a massive 3 points. We kind of go over to you, Tottenham. We've done our bit. It's another win for us.
Yeah.
To have that mad 9 minutes where every goal felt preventable. Again, not seeing it back, but every goal in my mind's eye at least came from Ezri Konsa's right-hand side, a very easy ball into the box, very easy getting the ball over the line. Just several occasions where you think, well, if you'd not done that and you'd not done that, that goal was just no chance of it even happening. But to capitulate in that manner, I suppose the added context is it feels like a defeat, doesn't it? And we do come back to get a point.
It does feel like a defeat, point in that game. I think dropping 2 points at home is effectively, you know, we tried to say what was the West Ham point, didn't we, the other week, was that 2 point game or whatever. And I think that did well, that could be put down as point game, but it's 2 points. That's not a point game.
Somebody tweeted me this on the way here, Sam. I think we can definitely say it was 2 points dropped tonight. And I was like, well, we were technically losing at one point and we come back to get a point. So officially, it probably does go down as a point gain because we're in a losing position. But yeah, if you turn it up at home to a side that you're definitely better than, you've got to win. It's as simple as that.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And these are the games that, again, hopefully by the time the end of the season comes, we'll look back on this and it won't matter. But when you see what other sides do when they just keep churning out results, a home game against a side that is, what, 5 or 6 points above safety, and you're 2-0 up at half time, they win. And those are results that you just grind out and see through, get over the line and pick up the points, and Villa weren't able to see it through for whatever reason.
Yeah, and I think that the way the goals come, one, to concede one could probably be complacent. Two is careless.
Yeah.
And three is bordering on a catastrophe, really, because they didn't really. I think with Brentford, you always feel that they can.
Mm.
They've got pace.
There's some good players in there, yeah.
You always think they're capable of it. But I didn't feel, first half, I thought it was us pushing and knocking at the door. And
yeah.
You know, have you seen that? I've seen a lot of stuff with post-match chatter about the penalty shout on Carlos.
I can't,
foul got given against him.
Yeah, I can't remember it at the time, but there seemed to be a bit of uproar that it should have been the other way from what I've seen on Twitter, but I don't
know. Even so,
yeah, you
know, we've gone 2-0, we've given ourselves that
push. Yeah.
And like you said, the teams knocking on the door of Champions League, find a way. And we have.
We
found a way to do it. It was a bit kind of Man United-esque today, you know, in terms of that capitulation.
Yeah. But then we have, it does feel like we're talking about a defeat. We do find a way back into it to an extent. Like, there are years gone by when we do lose that. The guy next to me was saying, like, oh, this is a disaster and whatnot. And it feels like it. But I was like, the one tiny, tiny positive here is that we're still half an hour to go. Like, there's time for us to get back into this. The third Brentford goal comes on the 90th minute. Yeah, obviously it's totally different. And when we got the third, I thought like you, okay, well, we will keep pushing here and maybe we'll have time to get it. But it shouldn't have got to that point in the first instance. I mean, the first half kind of average heat map, I've not seen them, but I'd imagine every Villa player is in the opposition half. Martinez probably spent more time in the centre circle than he has in his own box at times because we're just pushing onto them so high. The ball is up, the onus is on us to control the game and keep the ball. And Brentford are going to sit in deep, and we knew they'd do that. When you go 2-0 up, you think, well, they're going to have to come out now, so that leaves space for us. We'll get in there. 3-0, 4-0, everything's happy and dandy.
Well, they did have to come out, it's just they actually come out. Came out and scored three times. I don't want to be the world's biggest doom monger, but I can't take any pleasure in that. Not yet. I can't take any pleasure in that point. It's like winning a lottery ticket for £1 million, losing that, but oh, you found a scratch card that wins you a pound on the way back.
Yeah.
And then you've got the pound, and then Douglas always gets booked, so somebody's going to punch and kick you in the nuts anyway.
That was
always on the cake, wasn't it?
I tweeted it on the way up on the car. That is the most frustrating part of today, and there was plenty of people. That 9 minutes is really the most frustrating part. For Douglas Luiz to almost successfully navigate his yellow card suspension tightrope, which is the only phrase you really enjoy in journalism and nothing else, for 96 and a half minutes and get all the way through.
And that wasn't even a tackle that they'd be making.
It was definitely a yellow and a foul. No compliance at all from that point, and it's absolutely stupid. But why do it? It's actually the last kick of the game. What's he doing?
I think he's been competitive and thinking we can still go and win the game, but you need to play with your head, don't you?
Yeah, and he knew straight away, I've been booked, I'm going to miss it. The coaches, they knew it was going to happen, that it was going to happen.
You see him walk down the tunnel with his shirt.
Yeah, like, straight away. Exactly. Yeah, it's like he knows he's messed up big time. My only thing would be, and I don't know whether Emery and the coaches would be thinking this during the game, is that, and this is obviously with hindsight, Douglas Luiz could have came off when Tielemans did, and that game probably still finishes 3-0. Like, those subs made no impact really.
Yeah.
But we could have saved Douglas Luiz for Arsenal and Bournemouth, which they are now much more difficult to get points out of because we haven't got him. So as much as drawing 3-0 with a Brentford team that we should be beating is crap, to lose Douglas Luiz like that with literally the last kick of a shin of the game is outrageous.
Just sums up the carelessness.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, it's carelessness from Luiz to put himself in that position anyway. It's careless of the manager for not thinking that's a tactical substitution.
But maybe they don't think like that. Maybe I think we've got more chance of getting 4-3 here with Luiz on than Tielemans. But again, I don't think it makes any difference, does it?
And listen, he gets his subs right more often than not, but you know, I'm not sure that I think I'd have had Bailey on there till the end.
No, I wouldn't either.
I'd wouldn't have taken him off. I'd have left Bailey on till the end and done it like that. But for all the body Martin, I know they used to call it Monday morning quarterback, I think it was, wasn't it? Super wise after the event.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of that, but it's just super frustrating. We've talked about like point gain, points dropped. It definitely feels like points dropped, regardless of the technicality of being behind and coming back to get the point. It's only worth getting our knickers in a twist over whether
when Tottenham win, if Man United beat Liverpool tomorrow.
If Man United lose to Liverpool, which we all expect they do, and obviously we're filming this at what 6:30 on Saturday, this will come out on Saturday night, so we're all going to be hoping for that Liverpool win tomorrow. Obviously, Arsenal play Brighton now as well. We would like them to win just to keep that, you know, no one else to creep up behind us. The Spurs one is interesting. Luton beat Bournemouth today.
Yeah,
and gives Forest the incentive to go, right, okay, well, maybe we need to at least get a point at Spurs. Nuno going back to his old club. Like, there's a little couple of storylines in there. if Spurs also draw tomorrow or lose, it'll actually be a point gained.
Yeah.
By the end of tomorrow, do you know what I mean? So I'm not going to get too upset yet.
It's that, again, but it's that opportunity missed. What I'm relying on. We don't want to call in favours. We want destiny to be in our own hands as much as possible. And it was.
I know. Because my dad said on the way up, it's all well and good, kind of going, well, we've got away with it because they also lost.
Yeah.
But when they lose and slip up, we have to capitalise and win ourselves. And at the moment, we're not doing that. Yeah. So fingers crossed for Forest and Liverpool wins tomorrow. And then this becomes an okay weekend in the end. But it could have been a brilliant one if we open that gap up.
I feel frustrated for Ollie Watkins as
well. I know, yeah. Morgan Rodgers as well scores a brilliant goal Morgan that's going to be forgotten about.
He trudges all the way around the pitch, doesn't he, when he's taking off. And it's almost like, that was my moment. It's already gone.
I wouldn't have taken him off either.
I thought he was really good.
I think that was his best game for us.
Today.
He took his goal brilliantly. I thought, I don't want to say defensive works, it's probably not quite that, but even just tracking back from...
Him and Carlos in the first half, each made a brilliant... Yeah. Brilliant kind of save and tackle, and the fact that Rodgers has put in that graft to make up that ground.
And yeah.
The fellow who sits next to me says he's got a theory that Morgan Rodgers is groomed to become Ollie Watkins' long-term replacement.
Oh, really?
To play as a centre-forward.
He's got a good finish on him, but I'm not quite sure about
that. Yeah, I don't listen. He's a young man, isn't he? So hopefully Ollie Watkins is going nowhere fast. But, he was impressive. We did the really difficult work.
Yeah, breaking down a solid team and going 2-0 up. You kind of go, well, we've done the hard bit now. Just throw that away. It's so maddening. And I don't want to feel like I'm laughing about it because I'm not bothered about it, because it is gutting to not see the job through. But
Did you have an opinion on who was at fault for the goals that we conceded?
I didn't think Cons played great.
A lot throughout. Of them came down Cons' side, but again...
It's a combined effort. I think there's other opportunities after the cross comes in to deal with it as well. I would like to have seen the goals, a couple of minutes before we started, just to refresh my memory. But yeah, I don't think Conte played great down that right hand side. I've said before, he's a better centre half than he is a right back. But that back four combination of Dean, Powell, Carlos, and Conte, we've not seen it very often. And when we have, we beat City and Arsenal in the space of a week. So we have the best control with that back four. But it is susceptible. It isn't perfect. And I suppose my main takeaway from tonight is that, yes, it's an okay point, or it could be if Spurs go on to not win tomorrow. But I think it's evidence to suggest that there will be some weird things happen between now and the end of the season. We're all going, oh, Spurs have got Burnley and Sheffield United. Will they win them? Or maybe they don't. Like, let's not look too far ahead and go, well, we need this to happen and that to happen. You're going to see weird referee performances costing. You're going to see VAR things getting things wrong. You're going to see stupid own goals or whatever it is. You're going to see players where you think, oh, has he missed from there? And then go and, we might lose to Bournemouth. And go, oh, what a disaster. And then beat Liverpool in our last home game and go, well, we expected to lose that one and win that one. We just did it in the other way around. So with the same points.
Ultimately, what would be will
just
be.
Just kind of wait. I know it sounds mad. Just go, oh, forget about it. Wait till the end of the season. But we're now at that point where there's no point being mad now, because next week, like we had when we lost to Man United, it was a 5-point gap. Now it's back up to, was it 14 now to Man United, as of tonight anyway. These things are going to flip and change. Like next week, maybe Tottenham do overtake us to fourth. But 2 weeks later, we do the reverse to them. So it's just a little bit of patience, I suppose.
It felt like a kind of dagger blow
to
me. And I don't want it to be, it's all bets are off now.
No. At all.
I don't think it needs to be that final, but it did feel like, is this the weekend we'll be blowing it? I'm not saying it is, but I think it didn't when we lost at Man City. when we got a point at West Ham, we were expected to win. I didn't feel
that's just those were that significant games to play now, I suppose.
But I do feel like now, is that fake just saying, Villa fans, when you started to believe, and
I still think we'll be good for fifth. It's just whether fifth is enough for the Champions League, which we will probably know in 2 weeks' time, or we could know in 2 weeks' time when the second leg of all the European games are played. If Arsenal beat Bayern Munich and West Ham beat Leverkusen and we beat Lyon and Liverpool beat whoever they play, fifth will probably be enough. And I still think we'll finish at least fifth.
Yeah, I think it comes back to, again, we've said this lots of times about Emery and wanting to be in control and control the controllables and that kind of thing. I back us to finish fifth.
I do, yeah.
But it's out of our control whether finishing fifth is enough reward.
Yeah, well, winning the Conference League will go a long way to helping it. little bit. So it is still in our hands to an extent. But if the German teams go all the way through as well, that's obviously bad news for us. So come on, Arsenal. Come on, West Ham. Like, we need favours in that instance. But yeah, I'm not mega doom and gloom now. There's not enough has happened today for me to go, oh, that's it. We're going to blow it. We're going to lose the next three. We're going to lose the next four. Because I don't think that will be the case. We tend to bounce back after, you know, box on the nose pretty well. So, you know, if we go to Arsenal and get something next week, that'll be a result that people wouldn't be expecting.
But it's not beyond the realms of possibility. It becomes
it's much harder without Douglas Luiz. Yeah, I know.
Ugh. Yeah, it just feels. I think I'm still hungover from your wedding.
Oh, God. Thank you very much for watching or listening to this episode of the Clark Blue Podcast post-match reaction. Hopefully the audio is okay because I've absolutely winged it once again. Next time, if we're going to do it in person, I think I'll bring my own mic and we can have our own setup. Yeah, exactly. That'd be nice. Plenty of stuff coming up on Claret & Blue. Stay positive. There's still a long way to go. Thank you for watching this one, and we'll see you again very soon.